Hey everybody, welcome to Baby Mama's Club, the podcast. I'm your host, Ashley, the HBMIC, and that means I'm the head baby mama in charge around here. This is a podcast where we discuss all matters of life and the nuances of being a baby mama. The goal here is to get real and be great. Not just great moms, but great women. Welcome everybody.
You know what? I can't let you.
Oh my God. Welcome everybody. This is Ashley, your HBMIC, and that just means I'm the head baby mama in charge around here. Today I have a special guest with me and I'm so excited. We are going to be discussing mommy and daddy issues. We're going to be discussing about dysfunction and unhealthy patterns that our parents pass down to us and sometimes we pass down to our kids. So let's go ahead and get into it. I want to introduce to you my good friend and fellow baby mama, Tarita. She is a divorced baby mama of a beautiful little boy. So go ahead and introduce yourself. Say hello to the people.
Hey everyone, it's Tarita. I'm so excited to be here. So excited for this discussion and healing and all the good things that are in store on this channel, of course.
Yes, let's get into it. So guys, listen, you guys know this is my first time doing an interview. So if I don't do it right, leave your notes in the comments, but make sure you give me a 5-star rating, please. Okay, so now I was thinking about this because one story from my actual life, I was thinking about it and I thought, you know what, we really need to talk about this. So let me go ahead and tell you the story and then we're going to get into the conversation. So my daughter was about 8 or 9 years old, she was definitely 8 or 9, no much older than that. I honestly think she could have been 7 years old, but, a little girl, you know, someone in our family who had been picking on her and she was allowing the little girl to pick on her. So, you know, the mama that I am, I was like, first of all, she's ugly. You're cute. You're better than her. So as I attempt to uplift my daughter in the most negative way possible, you know, she ain't got no edges and her mama stank. And so, you know, I'm trying to uplift my daughter because she's feeling really sad. And I was like, oh, how dare this little ugly girl make you feel bad about yourself? So, you know, honestly, I regret it now, but I was not really, you know, being too proactive in this way. But I was just really trying to uplift my daughter. I was so shocked that she would allow this other little girl to pick on her. And I was like 38 hot, like, let's go beat her up right now. You know, so what we got to do? You know what I'm saying? You get the bat. So I'm, you know, trying to uplift my daughter and I was telling her how beautiful she was. And it dawned on, like, I'm looking at my daughter's face and then she just burst into tears. And at that moment, it dawned on me that my daughter had no idea how beautiful she was. And I'm not just saying that because she's my daughter. She's always been a really beautiful girl. You know, she's a teenager now, but as a little girl, she was always getting compliments on how beautiful she was. But you know what I realized? I never really called her beautiful myself. I mean, I could look at her and see she was beautiful. I just figured, hey, look in the mirror. You're beautiful, duh. You know, I didn't have to say that. I wanted to focus more on her smarts and her talents and her humor, you know, on her amazing personality. I didn't want her to grow up being vain. So I thought I was doing her a favor by not, you know, having her to count on her beauty. But what I was really doing was doing her a huge disservice because I hadn't affirmed her in that way. Yeah. And if you hear kids crying in the background, like we said, this is the Baby Mama's podcast and I had to have some place to put them babies. They downstairs. So forgive us if you hear some kids in the background, but we had to get this done. But you know, I had not affirmed my daughter the way I should have. And you know, if our parents don't tell us how amazing we are, how exactly will we ever find out? And so as I was pondering this, I realized, you know, I didn't really think that I was all that beautiful. And it's because I was never really told that I was beautiful, at least not by anybody, but some guy, you know, who was obviously trying to get in my between my legs. You know, that's really the only time I heard it. So I realized, you know, my grandmother never really, and she was the one who raised me, guys. You know, my parents and my grandmother never really said anything much at all. I can't recall of any time that I've been, you know, affirmed in that way and said, hey, you know, you're so beautiful, you're pretty. And maybe it was one day I was looking good, but it's just not something that I heard often. And even as I talked to my grandmother years later, I realized that she wasn't affirmed, you know, in that way either. So that's that small thing, maybe not something, you know, terrible, but it was that small thing that had a huge impact on my life, in very subtle ways. And then I passed it on to my daughter. But what do you think about that, Tarita?
Well, I think that so often, you know, the way that we are raised, we do in turn end up reproducing that in our own parenting. Specifically talking about identifying yourself as beautiful or, you know, identifying beauty in some form in yourself, it's only natural to get that foundation from your parents because they raise you, you know. And it's vital that we receive that from, okay, there goes the weather too. It's vital that we receive that from them. And you said a question like, if we don't get it there, how are we going to get it? I believe as women, we have, in our own lives, have been forced. Mm-hmm. We're fortunate to have forced to really come to the realization and resolve in ourselves our own beauty. And some people walk around, no matter what age, and they don't even have that still. So, yeah. You know, if you don't get it from there, you may get it, like you said, from people outside who are trying to manipulate you, which is not even the real sense of beauty. And, you know, we have to be fortunate as women to at some point identify what our own beauty is. And it's a process that we have to end up going through. I will share with you a story of myself. So my mom was very critical, very critical. I can probably count on my hands how many times I've heard her compliment me in a positive way about my beauty. And it's funny because when I tell people this, they always look at me and they're shocked. Like, oh, you can't be serious. But no, that's the way that I was raised. And I myself have made like a pledge that I didn't even realize how passionate I was about with my sons to always affirm them. Not only in just, you know, the things that they do and their character, because that matters to me more than anything, but in their physical sense. And so my mom would always point out our flaws, you know, oh, you need to do this, and why you're this and that, you know. So I grew up with a lot of criticism, opposite of affirmation. So I don't even know what that was, but it was a trigger for me with my children that I would never like physically criticize them, because to me, it's not necessary. Obviously, I want them to groom themselves and do things like that, but not to point out any flaws. So like we were just discussing earlier about Yanai, my son, when he was about 2 years old playing with my mom, he knocked his tooth and it caused the nerve to die. So his tooth turned gray. And so I didn't pay no mind of it. He's a kid. I know that it's going to fall out. I praise the Lord that it wasn't a permanent tooth or whatever. So I never paid attention to my son. He never even noticed it. One day he came up to me and he was like, Mommy, why is my tooth black? I'm like, your tooth is not black. Grandma said this and that. And I raced over to her and I was like, this is what you're not going to do with my child. There are so many things that you can talk about with him. His beautiful smile. My son had dimples, all of that. Beautiful brown eyes.
Yes.
So many things that you could have talked to him about. But you find the one flaw in his whole entire being to make sure that's something that you have to like talk to him about. And I was like, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. You've done that with me and I'm fine, you know, because sometimes we, like you said, you didn't get the affirmation, you turned out fine, but I didn't even realize it was a trigger, but in that moment it was, and I saw it like, no, then it kind of made sense why I was so adamant about affirming my son. And so I think that it can go either way. You know, it's going to be one of the two.
Yeah. Sometimes you take the extreme.
You take it. Yeah. Either extreme. Yeah.
So when, like I just said with you guys, my grandmother raised me. Both my dad and my mom were really, really young when I came, you know, bursting through her through her belly. My mother was 15 when she got pregnant and 16 when she had me. My dad was just a year older. They were babies themselves.
Yes.
And there was so much dysfunction that was passed down. My dad was in a abusive home. You know, he said a lot that he loved me, but he didn't know how to be a father. And so a lot of things he didn't necessarily do right. And my mom, you know what I'm saying, she grew up with a mother who didn't even want her, and she was too black, and she wasn't pretty enough, and she wasn't enough a lot of things. So her mom wasn't there. And so, you know, she was in a place where she didn't really know how to take care of a baby, and she had to, you know, put me in the hands of my father, which eventually turned into the hands of my grandmother. And eventually, you know, her father was using drugs. She was in a community that wasn't the best. And so she eventually turned to drugs. And I spent a lot of my years being angry and resentful and trying my best to be the very opposite of my parents. And in some ways, I turned out to be just like them. Because I was fighting. I wasn't facing dysfunction. I wasn't facing my brokenness. I was just trying to be better. I was trying to be different. And what I realized, there's no way for us to be better if we don't acknowledge it.
Absolutely.
We'd have to acknowledge the brokenness, and then we have to figure out how to deal with it, how to reverse it. Because my mother was a drug addict and she was going through all these other things, but I never dealt with the brokenness. I never dealt with the hurt. And then eventually I turned to other things. I didn't turn to illegal substances, but for a season I was drinking like an insane person. I was drinking like an insane person in the garage. I was partying. I used relationships as cover-ups. And I realized I had become a different kind of addict. Yes. And I was dependent on these relationships. I was dependent on, you know, these anything to take my mind off of how I really felt. And I wasn't able to start healing until I was able to pinpoint. At first, it was more like blame. I was just blaming my parents for all the pain that I went through. Yes. Blaming them. If you did this, then I wouldn't have turned out this way. Yes. If you said that, then I wouldn't have felt this way. And yes, I had to acknowledge where I participated in the dysfunction. Mm-hmm. But I had to first say, this is something's wrong here.
Yes.
Something is wrong. This is definitely not the norm. This is not healthy. Because like you said before, there's so many different definitions for dysfunction, but it certainly wasn't healthy. I hadn't had any healthy relationships with men because I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know what it looked like for a man to really love me or to protect me or to just to be truthful. I expected this. I expected to be cheated on. I expected to be hurt or to be used, and even that being a normal thing or that being something that I was worthy of because I didn't understand my worth. And so when I got older, I was more resentful. And then it wasn't until I began to look at my parents with a sight of compassion and empathy, as you said before, that I was even able to forgive them.
Yes.
And then as I was able to forgive, then I could actually start healing. Because I thought that I would be okay if I didn't forgive, but real forgiveness allowed me to find some healing within myself. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, for sure. Acknowledging where we are and the root of an issue is always important, because so many things surface level are going to be symptoms of that problem. When we talk about dysfunction and unhealthy relationships, the most unhealthy relationship we have is with ourselves. It starts with ourselves,
mm-hmm.
just as it started with our parents and themselves.
Yes.
And that's the root of it. So I think that humility, you know, the Lord has been dealing with me, especially about humility. When you talk about forgiveness and compassion and empathy, humility is such a strong factor in that.
Yeah.
Because when we're prideful, pride is such a big thing for us, especially even as believers, you know, walking with Christ, and sometimes things are revealed to us and we feel the sense of arrogance. Like we say, oh, I would never, or I could never. Humility is the first. Before you can even forgive someone, you have to humble yourself. So when you humble yourself, it allows you to have a level of compassion and understanding with your parents. It took, and this is why it's so important in relationships to be open and honest. One thing I wish my parents did, and I'm like adamant about doing with my son, is to be open and transparent.
Yeah.
I actually learned about some of my mom's upbringing from my uncles. They slipped up and told me some things. And it's so crazy because it immediately, my heart cried out for her.
Yeah.
You know? And it made me understand so much more of how much of an amazing mom she has been to me in spite of what she has endured. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I learned about the way that she was parented from my uncle, I was like, wow, she's doing an amazing job for me, you know? So I definitely believe that we do have to acknowledge things. I wish every person could sit down and talk to their mother and father and have an open, honest communication, you know, like how they talk about, you know, the Lord's going to show us our life. Like, I wish we could just see our parents' childhood in a humble way, you know, in a non-judgmental way. And you'd be surprised how much healing would take place, how much forgiveness would take place in that. I think that it is anyone listening to this, you know, podcast, anyone that it touches and reaches has to honestly ask themselves, have you ever faced your childhood? Mm-hmm. Have you ever really looked at it and evaluated the way that it has basically dictated the way that you live your life, you know, in relationships especially, because the root of it, like I said, it's all about love. You know, it's no, when we talk about God is love, it's way deeper than, oh, he loves everyone. It's the understanding of God's love and how important that is in our lives and how we function as a being, and then of course how that our function in ourself relates with other people.
Yeah.
So many of us never are not afforded that opportunity, or we don't take advantage or get to that place. I can't even pinpoint now and thinking it's a lost thought. What really brought me here to this point of really just looking into myself and getting to that point and looking, how did this impact me? You know, realizing certain things that I made these decisions because of my environment. It was a subconscious programming that was done to me as I was raised. You know, I grew up, just to give you a history, I know you shared with you, I grew up, my parents divorced, well, they're still technically married, dysfunction on another level, but they've not been living together since 1997, okay? So we're talking about 22 years. But I grew up in a highly dysfunctional household, physical abuse, a lot of arguing, fighting, not a good example of home, and that was up until I was 11 years old and about to be 12. And so it really shaped the way that I interact within a relationship. It gave me a lot of fears about relationships and my images of what that would mean, you know? So I think that it's very important for us to be able to, you know, just really sit down and reflect and see what, if you have your parents, I know some of us don't even have our parents to face, you know, but to really seek in that conversation. Like I told my mom one day we're gonna have that conversation, she's just not ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you know, God's been gracious enough to let me really, you know, deal with me. I read this book called She Is Free, and no sponsor plug there, it's a great book though. But she talked about what you just said, like you realize, she was saying that sometimes the things that we do are a direct reflection of the way that our relationship with our parents. If you never felt loved, if you never felt a deep connection with your parents, you'll search for that deep connection somewhere else.
Yes, that's
it
so
made
true.
Me realize why I always wanted to be in a relationship. I mean, I wanted to be married when I was 18, okay?
Child, when I was five.
You know, like, I was, well, legally, you know, I've been thinking about it since whenever. Yeah, you're right. But, and that's something that a lot of us women do, but it's deeper than, like you said, it starts to form a sense of identity to you. Like, if I don't do this, then how am I going to live?
Yeah.
You know, life is not right if I don't have that. And it all goes back to the foundational relationship between our parents, which leads me to say, as a baby mother, you cannot underestimate the responsibility that you have to make sure that your child understand that she is beautiful, mm-hmm. that he matters, that you guys have an open relationship where this person can count on you for encouragement, for mm-hmm. for helping them establishing their identity, you know? It impacts, you know, and like you said, you want to play the blame game, but imagine if that child wasn't even really afforded that blame game, you know, how that sets them up. So most definitely, I just wish that it was an opportunity for everyone to sit down and really just reflect on that, you know?
Yeah. For me, as I'm dealing with my own brokenness and just really asking the Lord and through just personal development, I have also been, you know, for me, my son's fathers are not in their lives. So I have to answer the questions of why sometimes. So that's kind of hard. I think that it's important to have these discussions, and I don't want my son growing up angry. I don't want him I know that I can't take away some of the sting of his father refusing to be there, but I don't want him growing up angry and bitter and carrying that bitterness onto the next thing. Because one very interesting fact, even though, you know, my son's father didn't have a father and never met his father, so he has also fathered two sons who don't know him. And wow. So that's a generational curse that's going to stop right here.
Amen.
And in order, and he's in, tell all his business. I ain't trying to get sued, okay? I don't think they got this in jail. but
you know what? I'm done.
they ain't got podcasts in jail, do they? But
you'll be surprised.
Lord, they got everything in prison.
I'm telling you.
They got everything in prison.
I got friend requests on Facebook, straight prison. Okay.
So his two sons, I don't know if he has any more kids, but his two sons, my son and his junior, do not have their father, and he's just refused to be a father. That's on him. I can't force him. But first of all, I had to forgive him, because, you know, he didn't have a father. And sometimes we get so mad and we say, you didn't have that. Now you're going to go ahead and do the same thing to your son. But sometimes if you don't allow yourself to afford yourself the privilege of being healed, forgive. I think sometimes we're still holding on to the hurt and we're blaming ourselves that we never allow ourselves to heal. And then we pass on that same hurt and brokenness to our children.
Absolutely.
So I kind of had to get to this point where I was like, you know what? I can't change it. And you know what? I wish this was a different story from my sons, but you know what? It is what it is. But I got to teach my sons to not allow that kind of bitterness to affect who they really are, who God called them to be. So when the times come, because every now and again we have the conversation, I know it does bother me. He doesn't like to talk about it often, but I tell him, you know what? You know, you got to pray for your dad. And, you know, remember how mommy was on drugs so long? Remember, she didn't come to my birthday parties. I didn't see her. She didn't buy any of my school clothes. And you know what? I had to find out the hard way, sweetie, that just because you have a child doesn't mean you know how to be a parent. I said, and you know, just because, and even if somebody gives you a manual, I gave him an example of, you know, you know how hard it is to take care of a pet, and you got to wash and you got to clean. Do you always want to wake up and, you know, you remember how mommy had to wake up in the middle of the night and change the baby's pampers and wipe the poop? And he was like, ew, yes. I was like, yeah, that's not fun. And sometimes people are still, they're not ready to stop having fun. And it's a lot of hard work. And sometimes it's so scary. And maybe your dad is just too scared because he doesn't want to let you down. Think about that. Worry about him not being there. Just pray for him, because who wouldn't want to the opportunity to be your dad? Somebody who's too afraid. Someone who doesn't know the great reward that's available to them. So I do my best to affirm him in that way, because it is what it is.
It is what it is.
And whether I get married or not, that husband will never replace his biological father, nor do I want him to. But he has to know that whether his dad chooses to be there or not, or whether I die tomorrow, he's worthy. He's worthy of love. He's worthy of affection. And whoever doesn't give it to him is not capable of giving it to him, or probably not willing. Doesn't matter. But it doesn't detract from his worth.
Yes.
I need him to be firm in that understanding. So I don't hide the truth from him, but I also let him know that he has the power to be so much more than what people are able to perceive of him.
Yes, absolutely.
So whether his actual father sees his value or not, doesn't mean it's not there.
Exactly.
So I try to combat that with that, because that generational curse has got to stop. And I'm not having it.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, and at a tender age, you know, it's very difficult to translate that in a way that they can understand. So, yeah. You know, what you described is, it's pretty amazing. Cause that to me, I believe, is on his level at his age, you know, in that elementary age. Cause those are when those questions are, they don't, you know, it doesn't magically come up in high school. You know, these questions start to surface very early on. I'm the only one without the dad at the dad and donuts and blah, blah, blah. So I think when you mentioned, you know, if you don't want him to have bitterness and anger and resentment and all of that, on a surface level, as mothers, the first way we ensure that our children don't have that is we don't have it.
Mm-hmm. That's so amazing. That's true.
We don't have it. And because your children learn their behaviors from you. Like I said, subconsciously, you look back on your life, you'll see how many things you've learned just because you were exposed to it. My mom never told me to go and hit result of violence, mm-hmm. because when I get frustrated in a relationship, or my dad never told me that. They didn't tell me, oh, we just don't talk about it till we all yelling. No, it's just what I was exposed to. So it's important that what we expose our children to is what they're going to reproduce. And mm-hmm. so that's the first step, you know. And of course, the conversations, and you're able to even have those honest conversations with your son in such a compassionate and loving way, because it resonates from in your heart. And so whatever issues we have with our children's fathers, we have to first resolve that in our hearts, because our children will pick up on it. You can fake the funk all you want,
mm-hmm.
but they know our hidden parts. You know, if you want somebody to read my mom like a book, pick any of her children, because we watched her in every step, you know? So being that example, I believe, is the most important. And I remember I was listening to, it's actually a funny story, just because we're on this podcast now and I'm talking to you, how I actually got to know Ashley. So I was listening to Dr. Charles Stanley. He has a podcast. And he was talking about how he was this man of God. And, like, you know, talking about generational curses. I was like, my sons, they're going to be men of God, because I got men of, like, womanizers in my family. And we got to break that in Jesus' name. Their father would not... W, capital W, okay? So I'm like, Lord, I want my sons to be men of God. I want them to know you intimately and to walk in your ways, you know, mm-hmm. to have an obligation and an honor to you, to want to worship and serve you. So how can I do that? And this pastor is on this podcast, and he tells me he watched his mom wake up and pray. His dad actually passed away early on, and she never remarried. And he basically was testifying that his faith came from watching his mom.
Wow.
Get up, pray, and talk to him, and be loving and kind to others. And literally, she lived out the gospel in their home. And this man is now like a mega pastor and just a honorable man of God. And I said, Lord, no more double-mindedness. I need to follow you. And I went on your prayer line, and actually both of my son Josiah had almost passed away, and he was getting a blood transfusion. I was at the hospital, and that was my journey of seeking Christ. I said, my sons are going to be men of God, because they were mothered. Whether their father wanted to be in this place or not, they were mothered by a woman pursuing Christ. Mm-hmm. And that was going to be their example.
That's beautiful. That's great. You might have been crying.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it starts with us. It really does. Healing. It really, really does. And it's the hardest. It's one of the hardest things that I've done. Besides blind faith. Because, Lord, you set us up there, boy. But that healing aspect, it's so difficult, because it's so, like, like we were talking earlier, you know, it's so easier to look on the outside than it is to look inside.
Yeah. I think that, and we're just talking about healing. We say that we want the best thing for our kids. But as I'm growing, I realize the best thing that I can do for my kids is to grow.
Yes.
Is to heal. Is to develop.
Yes.
Because I can't bring out of them what's not in me.
Nope.
If I never mature, I can't teach you how to be a mature woman.
Yes.
If I'm not a hard worker, I can't teach my kids how to work hard. If I don't develop it, I won't know. It's our job to develop that our children. But if we're not fully developed, if we are stagnated, that's what we give off to our kids.
Yes.
Our kids keep our habits. One day, I have this picture in my phone. I was so proud of it because it kind of showed, you know, what I was showing my son. But I had on, you know, I'm cleaning the house. I got on the worship music. And Naya, at that time, was like 1 year old. And I took a picture of him with his hands in the air, eyes closed, with the worship music on. And so it's like, your kids, and then, you know, so I'm a teacher. And, you know, we have these kids cussing and twerking and fighting Jesus. And bullying. Let me let you guys know something. When your kids are showing the world who they are by who you are. Yes. At this point, they're still developing who they are, but your kids are in the world showing everybody else who you are.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally, that's why they're a reflection of us. So that's why you say, don't embarrass me in the store, because they're not just embarrassing themselves. They're showing everybody what you taught them.
Yes.
So it's like you have to remember, some behaviors are learned by watching. Do what I say, not what I do.
Yes.
So we want our kids to do what we say, but we don't want them to do what we do. If you really want the best thing for your kids, if you want them to be amazing people, you have to grow. You have to be able to give them an example. They're not going to just, you know what I'm saying? Yes. It's like a rare few that go against the grain, but 9 times out of 10, if you really want your kids to be healthy and to have amazing lives, you have to start developing yourself so that you can give them something to go off of.
Absolutely. You know, it's the exception in the rule theory, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you were talking about your son's father, like when you grow up without a father and you're not able to be a father, it's almost like you're the rule. I can't even fault you.
Yeah.
It takes an exception to walk around and do the opposite. But in reference to us just being the best version of ourselves and reflecting it, and one thing I do want to point out about being a parent, because you mentioned something about it shows you as a parent. And what it can also show, which we have to be very careful, because I don't know about you guys, but for me, I was walking home alone in fifth grade. I mean, sorry, excuse me. Take that back. At 5 years old in kindergarten. Excuse me. I actually answered the phone one time in kindergarten. They called the police. My mom's best friend called. I was crying. She ran over there. I was supposed to get her from school. I'm sorry. I almost was a child of the ward or whatever the state.
Yeah.
So I encourage parents to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, you know, it's so much greater when we aspire for financial freedom and to have more time. It's not just about us. It's about our children.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of that twerking and cursing, it's because the internet is raising these children. The oldest sibling is raising these children. We're not
parenting anymore.
Oh, they're not parenting. And you know what? It's so crazy because I had the fear of my mom and me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things I didn't do, even though she was out of my grasp. And I just, overall, I was a prude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason why I feel like, because I had a lot of freedom to do a lot of ridiculous things.
Mm-hmm.
By the grace of the Lord, he just didn't allow me to walk that path. But I believe even in this generation, it's even more critical because we have, it doesn't take the bad crowd anymore.
Yeah.
It's just turning on your iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just had to realize I need to put certain restrictions on my iPad. I was talking with friends. I went on a girls' trip to Key West. We're driving up and one of my girlfriends is telling me how her niece, which she adopted, is watching porn at 11.
Jesus.
Addicted to it.
Oh my God.
So it's important that we be parents. I wish, you know, I do believe this in depths of my heart, that if I had parents that were on my back more, I would be even more successful as I was in my schooling, because I did excel very well, but I didn't have accountability. That was just on me because I had a certain drive. There's a certain level. This my house. I'm about to take all the doors off the hinges. I need all the passwords to these phones. I'm paying these bills.
I took my daughter's phone. She's not getting a phone. I already told her. I was like, you know what? I thought about it, and it's a bit much for you. And I don't think that you're mature enough to be able to monitor yourself. I said, oh, you can check my phone. I'm not doing all of that. Yeah. You just don't need a phone.
You just don't.
You just don't right
and
now.
And we have to know our children, mm-hmm. you know? And part of knowing is being in relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Actually parenting them.
Watching them. Having conversations with them. Watching what they say and not do.
Setting boundaries. Like, yes. You have to set boundaries.
Boundaries are important. They're are not important. Punishment. They are. That's how you show that you love your kids.
Yes.
Is by setting boundaries that will protect them. And so, yeah, I think for me, I realized that in me growing up, there were, I got said yes to more than I should have. Mm-hmm. And I was able to make more decisions than I should. I was very strong-minded. I want what I want. And after a while, my grandmother would give up. My dad's idea is just to give me what I want. Like, what did she say she want? Okay. You know, I didn't really get into a lot, like trouble. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't pushed. Like you said, I just wasn't pushed. As long as you're going to graduate, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what's the problem? Like, you know.
Yes.
You know, so I had a lot more potential than I was actually able to actualize. But so for me, I realized that I was even being more lenient because that's how I was parented.
Yes. Yes.
And it took some counseling to realize, no, you got to toughen up. You have to do a little bit more. And yes, they did the best they could, but that's still not good enough. You can still do better.
Yes.
And sometimes I think we're too afraid to acknowledge the dysfunction or things that went wrong with our parents parenting us because we don't want to insult how much they didn't love us. Sometimes we kind of feel like, well, I don't want to say that because then, you know, I turned out good. I know they really love me. So it kind of almost feels like they say, you didn't love me. You didn't good do it. It almost feels like an insult if you say there was dysfunction. So I realized, you know, I just had to get over it and realize this is not going to be okay for my kids. I have to do more than what was done for me in this way because my kids, they deserve more. And because I know better, I have to do better because I'm expecting this from them and I have to give them all the tools that they need to become who I know they can become.
Yes, absolutely. And as believers, what I'm learning now in this area of parenting and transparency, all of that, my number one goal is the best thing I could give my son is a relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And an example of that in my own relationship. And so I've been introducing to him that it's not mommy's way of doing things. It's God's way of doing things.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, growing up, when you got certain no's, when you did get your no's, it was, oh, you don't want me to have fun. You don't want me to do this.
Yeah.
Because they feel like, well, parents say, my way or the highway. Is this my house?
Yeah.
This is this and that. It's so funny. So I've been, in little ways, you know, with the help of his children's church, they kind of gave me this idea. Like, is this pleasing to God? Is this honoring him? You know, mm-hmm. kind of taking the pressure off me. Thank you, Lord. All right now. But it's funny because I was talking to Josiah and I told him to get something or to do mm-hmm. something. And I'm like, well, I'm the boss. So mm-hmm. you need to listen to me. And he was like, no, you're not. You're not the boss. I said, well, who's the boss? He's like, God's the boss. I was like, all right. He took me clean out with that one. So I do want to, I'm praying to continue to find for God to give me wisdom to kind of balance that. Because when it comes to parenting, he's the ultimate father.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's
and
funny.
He's teaching us how to parent, you know. Through his ways.
Yes. That's funny. God, I just told somebody, we literally just discussed why she couldn't get her phone back. And I was like, you was acting up when you had it. And I don't think that you're mature enough to handle that kind of responsibility. It's too much negative influence out there. and you're not going to always be strong. And she was like, but I said, who are you arguing with? You're not arguing with me. You're arguing with God. We didn't discuss it and it's done. I said, you really going to argue with God? She was like, no. I was like, all right then.
Took the weight off me, Jesus.
And she was like, I said, you really going to pout? I said, you tell the Lord you mad. She was like, oh. So she just walked away
mumbling. Well, Lord forgive me because I be pouting.
So she was like, I'm still going to pout though. I said, okay. But, yeah, so us being able to have those, for me, what has really worked, it's just to have a really open conversation with my kids in regard to just not passing on a dysfunction.
Yes.
Have an open conversation with kids about, with my children, about what I've learned, how I'm growing, because they need to understand that God's still working on me. I'm not done. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm an adult, I still have to learn some things. Yeah. I have to unlearn some things. And so if I decide to switch up things on them because I realize there's a better way to do it, I have to explain to them. I do explain to them, you know what? I realize that this isn't a good idea. And I realize it's not a good idea because this, and this will eventually cause this in your life.
Absolutely.
Even though I was taught this way, and mm-hmm. even though this mm-hmm. is what I was doing with you, I see that that's a bad thing because it's going to cause X, Y, Z in your life. And I want better for you. And I love you so much. So this is the change that I'm going to make to fix that.
Yes.
And so, and then I even tell them my experiences and how it affected me and how so and so and so. And even just having a conversation, even like, you know, I had an open conversation with my daughter. One of her love languages was touch. And I, you know me personally, but I was molested. So touch, I didn't like touch. And I would hate for her just always want to, she'd always want to touch me in some way. And it would like, I didn't like it. And then so I had to have a discussion with her, not to tell her to change her love language, of course, but I had to ask her to forgive me for when I would push her away.
Yes.
When I would say, stop touching me, because it would like, And then so I'd have to explain to her why I was responding that way, because she was taking it as me rejecting her. And I wasn't really touched often like that. But like that wasn't my love language. My love language is always gifts. And my dad only knew how to give me and to tell me he loved me. That's all he knew how to do. So he would just buy me stuff. So that's what I was giving to her. Here you go. You want stuff? Here's some more stuff. How about this? She had beautiful Christmases, but I didn't want her to hug me.
Yeah.
I didn't want her to cuddle with me and stop touching me. And she would feel rejected. And I was passing on that brokenness again. I was passing on things to her. And I realized I got to figure out a way to stop. Yes. And so I did pray about it. But I prayed, of course, and I, you know, is growing out of it. But I had to start telling her, mommy's not okay.
Yeah. Honestly.
This wasn't right. And I didn't mean to respond that way to you. Here's why.
That's important.
And so she knew. And then even with my son, his love language is completely different from mine. And then I would have to say, you got to tell me if I'm making you feel this way. You have to tell me if I'm not spending enough time with you. We need to talk. We have to communicate. We're a team. So they know that they can find fault in mommy.
Yes.
They can say something. I did have an open talking relationship with my grandmother, but not to that degree. But we did talk things through. But me and my dad never talked. It was do this, do that. Hey, I love you. See you later.
Yeah.
There was no real communication. Even to this day, we still don't really talk as much. But he's definitely growing as a man. I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of both of my parents who are growing as individuals. I'm very proud of them. But we didn't have that. So I have to tell my kids, like, yo, I'm going to fall short. I'm not going to be perfect. You got to let me know if there's something that I'm not providing for you emotionally. If you feel neglected, if you feel rejected, if you feel anything, we need to sit down and have a family talk, or we need to sit down and have a private talk, because what's most important for me is for you to be okay. Not just happy because you got what you want, but for you to really be okay. If at any point you don't feel like I love the hell out of you, something's wrong. You need to know without a shadow of a doubt in any situation, whether you're right or you're wrong, that I got your back always. And I always tell my kids, I love you always and forever. And so I try to have those open conversations so that whether they're they've done something wrong or whether they're doing something great that they know they can sit down and talk with me. Because I feel like first and foremost, communication is always extremely important. Yes. If they can't talk to you, there can't ever be any resolution. Mm-hmm. That's even as I was growing as an adult, I didn't even feel like I can go to them and say, hey, this is happening with me.
Yeah,
I'm feeling this way. And I resulted to, you know, addictions of all sorts because I'm like, there was no space for me to talk about what was really wrong. And so for me, I realized that communication really helped to maybe not kill all of dysfunction, but definitely to stop or to deter. What's the word I'm looking for?
Deter, maybe?
I don't know. But communication was definitely a major key. So as we wrap this up, do you have any final points, any final things you want to say?
I just to definitely be in that place where you're ready to face yourself, face the way that you ask yourself that honest question, you know, go back. Like I had this moment when I prayed to God to show me, you know, when I went through this, and actually now I remember, especially like the deep rooted understanding was when I was reading that book. And it just prompted me to like literally just lay. I remember I was laying in the bed and just prayed to God to show me some things. And I was just crying because he was literally bringing memories up to my, back to me that I probably even forgot, and really dealing with that. So I think most important is to just face your childhood. It matters.
Yeah.
A lot of things we cover up and we mask subconsciously. We don't even realize we do it. It's the way that God so intricately designed us. You know, we forget about things so that we don't have to deal with those things. Mm-hmm. But those things need to be brought into remembrance so that we can heal. Mm-hmm. Because it starts with us.
Mm,
yeah. It starts with your healing. Like you said, you have to resolve all the unforgiveness, all the bitterness, all the resentment. That's the only way you can highly function as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
It starts from self. It starts from within ourselves. You know, and I was fortunate enough to start this journey because, like you said, I'm still growing in this journey with Christ and him healing and really nurturing me and like basically restoring me so that now I can be that parent that I wasn't afforded. And one other thing, which a final thought I want to say is like, even when you're looking back, because sometimes we're so quick to give our children what we didn't have. And we completely forgot what we received that did affect us. Because like we said, yeah, we didn't turn out so bad. Mm-hmm. So being objective, when you not only looking for the wrong things,
yeah,
but looking for the things that worked.
Yeah.
You know, I think the fact that I didn't get some things kind of humbled me. You know, it kind of made me learn to be without, you know. And, mm-hmm. and the fact that I wasn't selfish and self-centered because it wasn't always about me. You know, I think about my son. I take him to Target. Always wants to get something. I remember my mom touched something to see if I'm... So, you know, in your reflection also, like you said, because you don't want to insult your parents, but just to be objective and to be real, there has to be something that went well. Because if you're functioning as a parent and you're listening to this podcast, you're of a sane mind, you're functioning to some degree as a good parent, right? So I would definitely encourage us to have a whole holistic approach of really evaluating that because it mm-hmm. matters and it affects how you function. But it all starts with ourselves. So I just definitely want to charge you all with that. Like, being a healthy person increases your chances of being a healthy parent.
Yeah, and creating healthy kids. And to piggyback off of what you said before we close, I want to say, pat yourselves on the back. Don't be so hard on yourselves. Mm-hmm. Like you said, but it's like you can only do the best you know how to do, and you can't force or rush healing. And, you know, it is what it is. You just have an honest picture of where you are and decide to move forward into the right direction. So until next time, you know, I would love you guys to leave your comments, you know, email me on Instagram at Baby Mama's Club. If you have any comments for Tarita, I will definitely relay them. But guys, you know, just be grateful for where you are. Be grateful for the wonderful, you know, gift of children. No, it's a hard job, but you can do it. And we're gonna make mistakes oh yes, we are going to make mistakes, probably plenty of mistakes, but the trick is to not continue to make those same mistakes and to grow each and every day. So I'm just so grateful that you guys have listened, heard our stories. I hope you're able to relate in some way. I hope you've learned something, and until next time, be blessed.